Today I want to talk about the gift of a godly legacy. The gift of a godly legacy. It's in 2 Timothy 1, and I'm going to make sure that I say the chapters and the verses so you don't have to use your prophetic insight. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 7. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. He says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure, I like that. I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle afresh the Spirit of God. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and some say a sound mind, this says, and discipline. Going back, it says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. For I am sure that it is in you as well. I want you to understand that what Paul was talking about here is legacy. Say legacy. He's talking about a godly legacy. I heard it was Apostle Scales some time ago in one of his times of sharing. He made this statement. Inheritance is what you leave behind. Legacy is who you leave behind. Inheritance is what you leave behind. Legacy is who you leave behind. Look at the screen and read it with me. Come on. Inheritance is what you leave behind. Legacy is who you leave behind. Now, I believe that we're supposed to leave both. Inheritance and legacy. But it doesn't do a lot of good to leave a lot of stuff. And that's it. I believe there's to be the balance of the two. What Paul is speaking to concerning Timothy, and what you need to know about this exchange is, this is Paul's last letter. Paul is about to be gone. He knows he's going to die in prison. And so he's, if you will, he's setting everything in place for his departure. And so he writes to Timothy. Now, Timothy is already in ministry. Timothy is already serving. Timothy was sent to Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, to deal with many of the issues there that were going on with the churches. Ephesus was an area of commerce, and there was much business taking place, but it was also a lot of degradation. There was a lot of idolatry that was taking place there. And so Paul sent Timothy in to be able to help the churches to be strengthened. So he's writing to Timothy, now telling him, though, I'm calling you into your next place of assignment. He says, and I want you to know that I know the legacy that you have and that you walk in, the legacy that's been imparted to you. He says, I'm clear about your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. Say legacy. I want to give you a phrase concerning godly legacy that Holy Spirit spoke to me. It's not necessarily in any dictionary, but this is the way God speaks to me. And if you put that up on the screen so that we can kind of look at it together. I need you to know that I was actually writing some of this even today while the intercession was taking place between 10 and 10:30. A godly legacy, a life lived that glorifies God and points to his gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. A life lived that allows the kingdom of God to be seen now and further established in the lives of future generations. A life lived in such a way that it encourages and empowers others to fulfill the purpose and destiny for which they were born. Godly legacy. You need to understand this, that you will leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy will you leave? It was a wonderful opportunity to share concerning my mother-in-law that she did leave a godly legacy. Look at the screen again, and just for the sake of keeping us all focused and in tune for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to read it all together. You ready? Here we go. A life lived that glorifies God and points to his gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. A life lived that allows the kingdom of God to be seen now and further established in the lives of future generations. A life lived in such a way that it encourages and empowers others to fulfill the purpose and destiny for which they were born. I think that's a real great way to say that. Come on, we're talking about the gift of a godly legacy, the gift of a godly legacy. I ran across this statement some years ago when I was looking at actually some picture frames, and I had this picture frame for a while, and it's this statement right here. 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be different, better, because I was important in the life of a child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Deborah, you got that back there? Okay. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you again. You can find it out on the internet. You can find it, in the store, some really nice frames. Put your family in it. Put your children in it. 100 years from now, just repeat it after me. 100 years from now, come on, use your outside voice. 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be different, better, because I was important in the life of a child. I'm talking about legacy. I'm talking about godly legacy. We'll come back to this, to the statement concerning legacy in just a little bit. When Paul is talking to Timothy, he's drawing on something that he knows is inside of him. He also says, and I'm clear because I laid my hands on you, so I know you got some power. He's helping him to recognize that this is what God has given to you. This is what God has placed on the inside of you. We all have a responsibility, and I want to tell you that as believers, you have the responsibility of leaving a godly legacy. You have the responsibility of leaving a godly legacy. Some of the dynamics of leaving a godly legacy, though, is this. A life yielded to the will of God isn't always understood by others and may never truly be understood until legacy is revealed. A life yielded to the will of God isn't always understood by others and may never truly be understood until legacy is revealed. Simply meaning, you don't want to live your life trying to be popular. Don't live your life trying to always fit in. You have to recognize that if you have a desire to leave a godly legacy, there are many who are not going to understand it. And they may not truly understand it until your life is over. And they see the legacy that's there. You see, that's one of the things that many saw with my mother-in-law. Because you see, legacy isn't just for those who are on platforms. Leaving godly legacy isn't just for those who have titles. It's for every believer. As a matter of fact, you have to understand this about titles. They're for here. I like one guy said, because if you go to hell, the title is going to burn off. If you go to heaven, it's going to blow off. We want to throw around these titles, and we want to say we're this and we're that. But the truth is, will you really leave a godly legacy? A life yielded to the will of God isn't always understood by others and may never truly be understood until legacy is revealed. Creating a godly legacy isn't always appreciated in the moment. It can come with a price and often great sacrifice. Creating a godly legacy isn't always appreciated in the moment. We have a generation of young people. We have a generation of babies who have no real appreciation for those who desire to establish godly legacy. We have to recognize that we're in trouble if our children and grandchildren and those that you relate to, nieces and nephews, those that you provide for, those that you parent, we're in trouble if they can quote Beyonce lyrics, Jay-Z lyrics, Kanye lyrics, Snoop Dogg lyrics. We'll throw in Taylor Swift. Lizzo. Cardi B. If they can quote more of that stuff than the Word of God, trouble. 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 That means that there are generations lost. There are generations lost. It simply has to do with the fact that along the way, we've lost sight of truly how to create godly legacy. You won't be popular creating godly legacy. Sometimes your kids won't like you. Your grandkids won't like you. Your relatives won't like you. Why you always got to talk about Jesus? Everything ain't always got to be about church. Well, wait a minute. No, we're not talking about church. But we are talking about a relationship with God. And those who are determined to create a godly legacy are willing to be misunderstood. Creating a godly legacy isn't always appreciated in the moment. It comes with a price, and it often comes with great sacrifice. And yet, when you and I are done here, the question will be, what kind of legacy will you leave? I'm not talking about inheritance now. I'm not talking about the money set aside or whatever. Nice things here are great to have, but none of us will leave here with a U-Haul behind whatever we're riding in, wherever we're going. There are times when we have to be able to say emphatically, I'm not trying to be your friend right now. I'm creating godly legacy. And I know what I'm telling you is right. You may not hear it today. You may not hear it tomorrow. You may not hear it once I'm gone, but eventually you will know what I said was right. It may be when we get to heaven, you standing on one side and I'm on the other, and you look over and say, you were right. It's a standard. Say a standard. It's a standard that we have to live. It's a standard that we have to maintain. It's in Judges chapter 2, verse 6. It says, when Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua. And who, it says, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now that's key right there. It's saying all of those who knew God, all of those that saw what he did, served the Lord. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mount of Mount Gesh. And then it says this, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, meaning all of those that were in that same area, same range, age range with Joshua. It says, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Look at somebody and just say, the legacy got dropped. The legacy got dropped. And this is why we are in such a crucial time right now. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Because we have generations who are lost. And many of them are lost, and we have to own our part. Because in many cases, we have not done well to represent God. We've not done well to represent the body of Christ. We made church to be out something, made out to be something that God never intended for it to be. So we got the backpedal. We got the moonwalk. We got to come back and then say, God, help us to get it right. That no other generations will be lost. And the challenge for us as the church, as the body of Christ, is what we speak. We need to speak the truth in love. But I need to tell you that speaking the truth in love isn't always melodious tones. Somebody needs to stand on the mountaintop and shout, this is not right. This is not God. Because if you're going to establish a godly legacy, you've got to be willing to pay the price for it. What happened that a whole generation would die off and another generation would show up who knew not God? You see, it says those that were with Joshua, they served because they knew what God had done. Somebody quit talking. There was less and less conversation about God. There's less and less conversation about the Lord, the goodness of God. Now, we will talk about him amongst ourselves, but what about those who have no knowledge of him? Can you allow God to work through you to create and leave a legacy, a godly legacy, amongst those who have not known him? Where unbelievers begin to say, there was just something different. There's something different about you. I don't know what it is. And I love it when they say, you're not like those other Christians. Right. Well, thank you. I receive that as a compliment. Yes. I don't know what those other Christians are like, but we seem to be connecting. They stopped talking. They stopped sharing. And if you have the opportunity to be amongst future generations, you have the wonderful privilege and the awesome responsibility of imparting to them that creates godly legacy. We're going to pray. We're going to pray every day. We're going to pray more than once. In the day. We're not going to pray just over our food. All right. I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to read and understand the Word of God for yourself. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 12. Deborah, I'm starting somewhere in the middle of this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words," say these words. Yeah, "these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." He's saying, you talk about me all the time. Make me a part of your life. Make me a part of your normal conversation, not your church conversation, not religious conversation, but everywhere you go, amongst your family, you're talking about me. So that they understand the relationship, not religion, but the relationship. I remember years ago, I used to work for a labor union, and I traveled, and I would go to different meetings and things, and I was in D.C., for a gathering, and it was one of those gatherings where the meetings were during the day, and the evening they would have a meal, and people would sit and drink, and they had an open bar and everything. And I remember that I remember finding around the corner a piano. And so I went, and I sat down at the piano, and I just began to worship, just worship. I was leading worship at Rhema at the time, but I was working this job. And so, a guy that lived in the D.C. area, he came over to meet with me. And we sat and we were talking, he sang and we were talking. We began to talk about the Lord. We began to just talk and share. What I didn't know is that there was a lady around the corner, worked for the union as well. She was from Guam. She was around the corner and she was listening to us. And when I noticed she was there, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm sorry. I was just listening to you all talking." And she said, you talk like you know God. You talk like you know Him." I said, "I do." See, she was Catholic in her belief. She said, "I want to know Him like you know Him." And we took the time and we prayed for her right then. She was filled with Holy Spirit right then. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them." He's saying, you shall talk about me when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Because here's what God understands about us. If we are not intentional in walking out godly legacy, we will entreat Him, we will reach out to Him, we will seek Him, we will press into prayer when times are tough. But when they're not, we're casual about it. That's not how you create godly legacy. That's not how you create godly legacy. The gift of a godly legacy, a life lived that glorifies God and points to His gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. A life lived that allows the kingdom of God to be seen now and further established in the lives of future generations. A life lived in such a way that it encourages and empowers others to fulfill the purpose and destiny for which they were born. A generation grew up, came into a place of not knowing God, because those in that time were not living this out. You see, creating a godly legacy may mean taking an unpopular stance and holding to a standard that for others seems to be unnecessary. You don't take all that. No, it really takes this and really some more if we really were honest about it. It means taking an unpopular stance. And going back to what I said, listen, I'm not trying to be your friend. We have a generation of young people, oftentimes they feel like, well, why are you so hard on me? If you only knew what the real world was like. Not the one that you're buffered by because you live in my house. The one that you're buffered by because you ain't paying no bills. I just felt that right. I got all kind of flashbacks going on in my mind. I'm creating a godly legacy. So I'm going to tell you there's certain things you're not going to do. Not on my watch. There's places you're not going on my watch. And if I have to shut you down, you need to know that in my lifetime, I'm going to do anything and everything I have to do to make sure that the life I live gives you the best opportunity of living out godly legacy. Creating a godly legacy may mean taking an unpopular stance or holding to a standard that others seem, that for others seems to be unnecessary. I guess, and I get it, y'all, so just bear with me. I just eulogized and celebrated the life of someone who lived godly. But there were people in her life that never thought it mattered until now. So how do we create and leave a godly legacy? I'm going to tell you something that really boils down to one word as believers: consistency. I know y'all's waiting on some huge revelation. Consistency. Everybody say consistency. So let me just give you a couple points here, and then we're gonna wrap this up for now. When we are intentional in creating godly legacy, it's gonna take consistency. One, it takes a commit to a consistent lifestyle that places Christ in the center of all that you say and do. Commit to a lifestyle that places Christ in the center of all that you say and do. It's not religion, it's relationship. I am intimately acquainted with and have a daily relationship with God exhibited through obedience. I'm a worshiper. Commit to a consistent lifestyle that places Christ in the center of all that you say and do. Secondly, cultivate a consistent prayer life that is modeled before your family and friends. Don't be timid to pray for people. Do it with boldness. Do it with confidence. We can come in here and we pray up a storm. But can you go out there on the streets and pray heaven down. Cultivate a consistent prayer life that's modeled before family and friends. Where you're not timid that every time something comes up, let's pray about it. Well, we're going to pray right now. I'm not saying I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray right now. With boldness and confidence. When Peter and John were headed into Gate Beautiful, and the lame guy was there and said, you know, alms. Look, man, we don't have any money, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. That's the kind of boldness that creates godly legacy. That causes someone to recognize such a consistent life of prayer that they're saying, I know somebody that can pray. Let me put you in touch with Sister, so, you know, we say Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. Because if anybody can pray, they can pray. If anybody can reach heaven, I'm just using these terms, that's what people say, they can reach heaven. Cultivate a consistent prayer life that is modeled before family and friends, modeled before children, modeled before grandchildren, modeled before nieces and nephews. Because that's how you begin to create a legacy that causes them to know that the God that you serve is the same God for them. And lastly, for now, commit to a consistent personal time in the Word of God. A consistent personal time in the Word of God. Know the Word so that you can speak the Word. Now, I'm not talking about you speaking chapter and verse as much as I'm saying the Word is so in you, you can't help but speak the principles of the Word of God. The Word is so in you that when you're talking to someone, they say, I just don't know what it is, but every time I'm talking to you, it's like words of life. Because that's how deep the Word of God is. I just get refreshed whenever I'm around you and we're talking. It's the Word of life. Commit to a consistent personal time in the Word. We're talking about a discipline now. That you know the Word so that you can speak the Word. As I said a moment, we got generations that can quote all kind of lyrics from all kind of different artists. But when it comes to being able to speak the Word of God, it's empty. The gift of a godly legacy. A godly legacy, a life lived that glorifies God and points to his gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Meaning everybody that knows you in this life knows that you know God and you are his ambassador. You are his witness. A life lived that allows the kingdom of God to be seen now and further established in the lives of future generations. Where God is using you to bring others into the reality of who they are, who he is, and who they are. A life lived in such a way that it encourages and empowers others to fulfill the purpose and destiny for which they were born. The life that I live is because there are others who are able to look at my life, speak into my life. It was my mother-in-law who called me one day and said, You need to study what it means to be an apostle. This is 20-some years ago. You need to study what it means to be an apostle. And then gave me a book on the life of Apostle Paul. It didn't make me run right out and want to say, I'm an apostle. What she was doing was leaving godly legacy. She was the first to bring to me a luggage set. She said, so when you start traveling, I was still just trying to put food on the table. I wasn't trying to go anywhere. But you see, in the gift of leaving godly legacy, it often entails God using you to speak into someone else's life concerning purpose and destiny. And no one else may never know about it but you and God. And sometimes in your lifetime, you see that walked out. And then other things, other purposes and destinies that are part of your reward and mine will only be seen in eternity. Because as I said, concerning godly legacy, a life yielded to the will of God isn't always understood by others and may never truly be understood until legacy is revealed. And when I say that, I mean in eternity. So I want to pray right now, and then Pastor Jamal's going to come up and lead us in our worship and giving. How many of you would say, I want to make sure I'm leaving a godly legacy? That's not a rhetorical question. I need to see some hands. Now, you put your hands down, because here's what I want to say to some of you. You're already walking that out. So my encouragement to you is, don't relent. All right. Don't back up. Don't back down. Continue to speak the word of God. Continue to hold that standard high. Thank you, Lord. The enemy will try to wear you down, because he knows what weighs in the balance is the godly legacy of others, the purpose and destiny of others. The enemy may want to try to just discourage you and just cause you to fold up and just forget about it. I'm telling you, don't do that. Here's what we don't understand oftentimes: how powerful God is. How powerful God is. Because sometimes what we're looking at, we just can't figure out, will it ever change? Will it ever be any different? Will it ever be any better than what it is right now? You need a greater revelation of God. And you need a greater revelation of the Word of God. Because you can read in the Scriptures one scenario after another, after another, after another, when it looked like it was over. That's exactly what it looked like at Calvary. Jesus on the cross. And all the disciples were looking at it like, okay, I don't know what this was about. I followed this man for 3.5 years, and this is what it's come to? You may have raised a child, and you're saying, and this is what it's come to? There's another part to the story. Hey! There's always another part to the story. The Scriptures make it clear we only know in part, we only see in part, except God reveal. Next week, we're going to talk about that wisdom, revelation, and insight. For all of you right here, right now, who are truly saying at the end of my life, I'm going to leave a godly legacy, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Almighty God, my Father, I thank you that you've saved me. I thank you that you've called me. And I thank you that you've given me the opportunity to pour into the lives of others. It is my desire that you get the glory out of my life. I want to leave a godly legacy. I want to live my life in such a way that at the end of my life, all they can see is you. I thank you right now for giving me the grace, giving me the wisdom. I thank you for giving me the desire to live this life for your glory and your honor. And I thank you for giving me the grace to not quit, to not compromise, to not back down, to not back up, but to remain resolute in my faith. I thank you that you will allow me to leave a godly legacy. In the name of Jesus, amen.